My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
When we started this podcast, there were two episodes of this show that we specifically were like, I don't want to talk about this one.
Yeah.
One of them was Shooting Star, and we got through that one.
We did.
And here's the second one.
Yeah.
Episodes that, frankly, at least for me, I didn't want to talk about for very opposite reasons.
Totally.
Like, not in... Shooting Star, I think, was so tactless and terrible, and I really hated it.
Yeah.
This episode for me is just packs in a real life emotional punch that I am a little tentative to attempt to tackle.
Completely.
But that's what we signed up for when we did this podcast. So
totally. I even remember, like, maybe a year or so ago, someone posted on the subreddit how they were nervous for us to get to the quarterback. And I was like, we're a year out. And so I've been feeling
like planting
seeds
of
doubt in my head.
Someone on the Discord 2 weeks ago, no, on last Wednesday after the minisode dropped, said, did they say in the minisode how they were going to tackle the quarterback? And I was like, were we supposed to? I feel the pressure. I feel the heat. I'm sweating.
Yeah, I do too. But I mean, this is an episode unlike any other episode in Glee. Like, even outside of the canon of Glee, it feels different. So, I mean, the way we're going to talk about it is inherently going to be a little different. But let's talk about it. Let's share some good memories of Finn Hudson, the character. And we'll talk about it. Yep. It'll be okay.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a Gleek.
Hey, all you people. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am also a Gleek.
It's very weird. Usually, we do like a little dumb comedy bit when we introduce ourselves. I just feel here's all the stress of this episode. This episode is obviously big time, like very emotional episode. It is a tribute to Finn Hudson as a character, yes, but mostly to Cory Monteith as a person. And so that's hard to talk about. But then beyond that, it's like Cory Monteith's death obviously affected everyone who watched this show.
Absolutely.
And I think that if you felt a personal loss and a personal grief, that is like 100% normal and valid, and that is very hard. But then also I feel especially uncomfortable talking about it because it's like, yes, it was very sad when Cory Monteith died. For me, I also didn't know him. And this is a show that is created by people who like were essentially his family, and the people in this episode were his family. And so I feel gross doing dumb little comedy bits talking about this episode.
Completely.
Yeah.
I think those feelings are not unfounded. I feel the same about that.
Yeah. So I would not, which I don't think anyone came into this episode expecting that. But, you know, I don't think this episode is going to be listed on Recovering Gleek's funniest episodes of all time anywhere. I would not prepare yourselves to hear many jokes happening.
I hear you. There are some zingers in this episode that make me laugh. Like, and honestly, I don't know how you feel, but I felt like in times in my own grief, I've found like laughter has been like a good thing for me. So like, not that today is going to be a day we're going to make people laugh, but like in this episode, the moments that made me laugh, I was very grateful for.
I love that part of this episode. Yeah. One thing that I have in my notes before we get into it, one of the main things I have in my notes is something I really appreciate about this episode is it doesn't, which, you know, everyone grieves in their own way. So if this had been the case, I couldn't really look down on them too much, but it doesn't just turn into only a weepy, oh, we're so sad about this thing.
Completely.
There feels like there's some sort of driving force behind the episode. Mm-hmm. There feels like there's plot happening. And then also, especially like you just said, they bring some levity into it.
Yes.
Like it is very much, at least in my opinion, a respectful tribute that really honors him. But then they also are still making an episode of Glee, and they have moments of levity, and they have little jokes and yeah. all of that stuff. And I really appreciate it.
I agree. How did you, here's how I felt about this episode when I watched it last night. Oh, well, here's how I felt about this episode when I watched it at first. I think I felt how everyone felt. I felt very connected. I mean, it is no secret. Finn Hudson is and remains one of my favorite characters. I think he, like, obviously has, like, some serious character flaws that are serious, but I really love Finn Hudson. And we've talked about this a lot. The reason that I love Finn Hudson so much, the reason that so many people love Finn Hudson so much, is because Cory Monteith is just so damn charismatic. And, like, mm-hmm. the heart he brings to Finn, the joy, the love, all, I think, like, resonates from Cory Monteith. And I, you know, I, along with like everyone who watched the show and who felt a connection to the show, I like, that was a real grief for me. That was a real grief. And, watching it back yesterday, I kept having feeling my real life feelings versus the show feelings and like sensing a tension between like, what is like canon happening in Glee and like real people who are sitting there having a moment, mourning a friend. And there are moments where that line is really blurry in this episode, obviously, like I wouldn't expect it to not be, but there are moments where, I don't know. But last night when I was watching it, I was like, this is really interesting to like ask a bunch of people who are grieving to, put on their emotions for a camera. I think that's really hard. Mm-hmm. I hope that this experience was like cathartic and like felt good and felt like an honoring of their friend to all of them. But I got nervous last night when I was watching it that I was like, I don't know that this would be, I don't know. I don't know how I would feel in this situation. I have luckily never gone through anything like this. So I don't know. I was feeling that. That's where my conflicting feelings come from this episode. Do you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I feel so bad. I stay here and I just feel so bad and I feel such sympathy for the people on screen, you know?
Yeah. I personally, I fully understand where you're coming from. And I also, yeah. that's not a criticism that you are alone in. That's something I've heard from a couple different sources of people feeling like it was exploitative is too harsh of a term, but being yeah. a little uncomfortable with, you know, having these people grieve their real life friend on camera.
Yeah.
Personally, it doesn't bother me just because I feel like every member of this show was put in an impossible spot.
Completely. Oh my gosh.
From a business standpoint, the male lead of this show cannot be on this show anymore. You can't simply pretend that he never existed. You have to address that mm-hmm. fact. Like, either yeah. we cancel the show and all of these people are now unemployed, or we have to address the fact that he's not on this show anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, from a completely. Business standpoint, they have to talk about the, like, why Finn isn't around. And then from a real world standpoint, it is our dear friend and a member of our essentially family has passed away and we're all in immense pain. And we have to, in order to save all these people's jobs, we have to address the fact business-wise that this character is no longer around. But then in real life, that's going to be so hard to do because yeah. we're all genuinely grieving this loss.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a lose-lose situation. I think that no matter what, it was such a hard spot for them to be put in. And I think the decision to do like, we're going to do a memorial for the character that is actually a memorial for the actor is, in my perspective, the best option they could have come up with.
Yeah,
especially because I think the circumstances they do it in are incredibly tasteful, mm-hmm. that we aren't given details as to how Finn passed away. It's not used as a plot point. Like, can you imagine how disgusting that would be?
Seriously. Oh my gosh.
If it was like some sensationalized that his character died. And so like all these big things are happening to these characters. Mm-hmm. It happens off camera. I mean, obviously it happens off camera, but we're not even given the specifics of how it's happened. We don't see any character find out that he died. It's all like, it happened a few weeks ago. They're all coming to terms with it. We're going to have a tribute to this character mm-hmm. and the actor, and then we're just going to try and continue the show moving forward.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, there were some people that contractually had to be in this show, but for most of them, it was open invitation. We're going to do this tribute episode. If you would like to come back, we will write you into the script. We'd love to have you, but you do not have to come back.
Yeah.
And so, like, most of the people who were there. I'm sure it was painful for them, and they, like, didn't have a great time. But they were there because they wanted to be there.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. And honestly, like I said, I really hope that this experience felt good to do. If, like, you know, it feels good, especially when someone close to you has passed. It feels good to pay tribute to them. It feels good to, like, think about them and, like, you know, sit with those feelings for a minute. And I hope it was really cathartic for them. And I hope that, like, it helped them in a way. I think just when I was watching it, I was just like, I couldn't tell what was Amber Riley crying and what was Mercedes Jones crying. And obviously, I don't think that matters at all. But I was just like, I just felt so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it feels like voyeury to look in on such real, real, real things. It felt like, oh, shit, that felt like not for me. And it, you know, and obviously they're consenting to it. That's okay. But I just was like, I hope this felt good. And I hope this, like, ultimately was a healing experience for them filming this episode. Yeah.
It's a little like watching someone else's funeral.
Completely.
And it's like all these people who knew them are crying and hurting and sharing memories, and you're just like sitting on the side with a bag of popcorn.
Yeah, I certainly was not eating popcorn, but it totally feels that way. Feels that way, where you're looking into something it feels private. So, yes. And that's, I think, where my criticisms come in with this episode, because I don't know what I would have done. Like, I was talking about it with my roommate last night. I don't know what I would have done. And I think, especially with what you said, like them not sharing details, his, like, the way it happened doesn't matter. It is just specifically to share memories and to, like, sing a song that makes you think of him and makes you, come to not terms with it, with his passing, but, like, you know, that, like, kind of encapsulates your feelings about it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, do you want to get into some glacks for this episode?
I would love to get into some glacks. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Here's some glacks for The Quarterback. So The Quarterback aired on October 10th, 2013. It's the first episode since Showmance to be written by all three showrunners. So it was written by Ryan, Brad, and Ian Brennan, which has not happened since the second episode of the show. And it also had special assistance by Lea Michele. So Lea Michele helped the three of them write it as well.
Awesome.
After this episode, there was a 4-week hiatus before the next episode, Katie or Gaga, aired, which I imagine, you know, was just them trying to, they needed the space, A, to grieve, and B, to figure out where to take the show moving forward. Songs in this episode are Seasons of Love from Rent, performed by the New Directions and the Alumni. Originally, a version of Seasons of Love was recorded for Glee the Music, the Graduation album, but it got cut from the album for unknown reasons. But this is the second time that it has been recorded, but the first recorded version was never released. Then we have I'll Stand By You by The Pretenders, performed by Mercedes Jones. Fire and Rain by James Taylor, performed by Artie and Sam. If I Die Young by the band Perry, performed by Santana. This is the earliest in a season that Santana has ever had a solo song, having it in the third episode of the season. Also, some of these GLACs, none of these GLACs, I would say, are fun. Most of them are just kind of information. Okay. Some of them are genuinely heartbreaking. This, okay. So Santana sings this song and okay. she has a breakdown when she sings a song, obviously. The breakdown was scripted to happen after she finished the song. Naya Rivera could not get through lip syncing the song and started crying in the middle. And so that's why the song cuts off early in the episode, because she could not get through it. Then we have No Surrender by Bruce Springsteen, performed by Puck. Make You Feel My Love by Bob Dylan, performed by Rachel Berry. Oh, and that's the last one, sorry. Make You Feel My Love by Bob Dylan, performed by Rachel Berry. Lea Michele specifically requested to sing this song for this episode. She wanted to do something personal. And this is the very last Glee song to chart on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It wow. peaked at number 84. So in total, with this song, Glee, in the entirety of its run, had 207 songs chart on the Billboard Hot 100, which is the most of any artist in history.
Love you, Glee.
The title card for this episode, which is Glee, but the L is a silhouette of Finn during Don't Stop Believin', was made by Glee Wiki user Rammer V.
Big shout out!
So Glee Wiki has their fingerprints yeah. in this episode. Glee Wiki representation.
That makes my heart smile. I love that. That makes me happy. I hope they were asked.
I was going to say I'm sure they were, but then I was like, this is Glee we're talking about. They very yeah. well might not have been. We know what happened with Fondue for Two. They might have just ripped it off.
Honestly. Well, here's credit now. Shout out. Yeah. That's awesome.
Shout out to you, Rammer V. This GLACT is very sad. So we see in this episode there's all sorts of notes on Finn's locker that like different people have left. One of them reads, Finn, you are our star that left too soon, but we will always look up to find you. Love, Zach and Brooke. And that was written by Zachary Woodley and Brooke Lipton, the choreographer and co-choreographer of Glee.
Whew.
All the profits made from the streaming of music from this episode were donated to Project Limelight, which is one of Corey's favorite charities. Which stuff like that is what makes me like this episode. That I'm like, the showrunners really, in my perspective, were doing this episode for the right reasons. You know, they weren't doing it for ratings. They weren't doing it for like sensational television. Like they were trying to honor this man. All the proceeds went to one of his favorite charities. Like they really were putting their heart into this thing. Most of the scenes in this episode are the first take of the scene because the cast and crew had such a hard time. There's an interview with Ryan Murphy where he talks about it, where he says he's never been on a set like this before, where you literally had to stop filming because the cast and crew could not stop crying. That it wasn't like, oh, we got the take. It was like, we cannot bear to do that take again. So we're just going to use the one that we have and keep moving on. The quote, so at the end of this episode, Rachel brings up a quote of Finn to hang up in the choir room. It's quoting Night of Neglect from season 2. And the plaque reads, the show must go all over the place or something. This is actually a misquote. What Finn actually said is, the show's gotta go all over the place or something, not must go. Show. The photo of Finn and Rachel in Finn's bedroom that Bert looks at is from season 3, episode 1, The Purple Piano Project. This episode marks the last appearance of Dottie Cazzatore. So she's going to the farm upstate. Goodbye, Dottie. Have a great time.
Yeah.
And this was the most watched episode of Glee since Britney 2.0, which is episode 2 of season 4, which makes sense. I mean, I tuned in to watch this episode live. Yeah. I had stopped watching Glee for like 7 months before this point, but I came to watch this episode. I'm sure a lot of people did the same thing. And those are your GLACs.
Thanks for those GLACs.
You're welcome.
Really, really are very sad, very heartbreaking. Thank you for sharing them. Here's a quick recap for you. Here's the recap. I'll do it and you'll know what it is. Here's what you missed on Glee. In the wake of Finn's passing, friends return to McKinley to grieve the only way they know how, by singing. Kurt, Bert, and Carol go through Finn's belongings. Sue, Santana, and Puck seek guidance as their anger and pain over Finn's death frustrates them, and Emma realizes that Will isn't allowing himself to cry, and Rachel makes her return to McKinley. And that's what you missed on Glee. I didn't want to we'll talk about it.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
What do you want to start with? What would you like to start with first? Do you want to just go through the episode?
Here's the deal. This episode, I respect, as I said, one of the things I really like about this episode is it does still have a storyline. It does still have a plot line. Like, they're doing more than just, sitting around and crying. And I wouldn't blame them if they did just sit around and cry, but I do see the effort that they put in. However, in talking about it, I feel kind of uncomfortable breaking it down like a normal episode and just being let's talk about this plot line and this characters. I don't know. Okay. I have a hard time. Frankly, there's one critique about this episode that I stand by that I really don't like. Besides that one thing that we'll get to, I have a hard time critiquing anything about this episode.
Yeah.
Because grief is such a personal experience that I feel uncomfortable talking about another person's grief. You know what I mean? Yeah. So some of these plot lines don't super connect with me, but mm-hmm. also they don't need to connect with me. Some of them do super connect with me, but I just I don't feel comfortable talking about the stuff that I'm that wasn't my favorite thing. Cause it's you didn't lose someone close to you and then have to write about it. So
yeah, that's true. Honestly, that's one of the things I love so much about this episode is the vastness in ways that, that people grieve in different ways. Mm-hmm. Or some people mm-hmm. respond with shutting out all their emotions and being there for other people. Some people obviously react in outright crying. Some people are angry. Some people are lashing out. People are stealing things. That is totally a way I've seen grief. I've seen grief in all those ways in other people. And I think that's one of those feelings that makes you react. So many people react to grief in different ways. So I appreciate the way that this episode did a few of them,
Yeah, I totally agree. That's one of my favorite things about it is it's a very smart. I'm choosing my words so carefully. I just don't want to be disrespectful.
I hear you.
But I do really appreciate and respect the way that they chose to do this memorial while also having it be character focused, and the way that we see, like you said, how this affects each of the characters individually and that it affects them in all different ways. And I think this mm-hmm. episode is a very interesting study in grief.
Yeah.
Like you said, we see, we see the Hummel Hudsons and Rachel, which is what you kind of expect, where they are very, very openly sad about it. And then you see Puck, who is just angry and is lashing mm-hmm. out at people. And then you see Santana, where it's is this girl even upset? She keeps making light of it and not talking to anyone. And then you see Will, who's just pouring himself into being a caretaker and making sure the people around him are doing okay. And then also this is a hot take. Should we talk about this now?
Please.
What do you think about Will stealing Finn's jacket in this episode?
Oh, How do you feel about it? Do you like it?
I love that choice, but I don't hate it.
Okay. I don't love it just because it makes me sad that, like, if there are people mm-hmm. who are missing it, and that the person who is, like, lecturing of everyone all the time takes it. It doesn't, like, bother me inherently. It just, like, it's not where I, you know, I feel sad that people are missing the jacket. And especially, like, Santana was gifted it by a family member, and then Will decided he was more deserving of it. But, you know, that's also one of those things that's, like, I can't judge how grief makes people act, and that's about this episode. So that's my feeling about that. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel a similar way. I think the episode maybe could have been clearer about what they were trying to say with it. I also think if it was another character other than Phil who just, like, I have a distaste for, and most people have a distaste for, it would be less jarring.
Sure.
Like someone who's a little less self-righteous. But at least in my perspective watching the episode, who knows if this was really the intention. It does seem to show people grieve in very different ways. And sometimes when you grieve, like, you kind of just do like a very selfish thing.
Yeah.
Like, Will does this very selfish thing. He fully steals this jacket from Santana and keeps it for himself. And it's not like, go, Will, good for you that you did that. But it's just showing that's the thing that happens. Like, when people are hurting, some people are very open about it. Some people, like Will, kind of they have to keep things. They feel like, you know, he's the father figure of this club. He feels like he has to put on a brave face for these kids. He's got to make sure that they have someone who comes across as stable that they can come to. And because he's suppressing his grief so hard, it ends up coming out sideways. He ends up, like, doing this very selfish, not great thing because he is not processing his grief healthily. I'm not like, oh, it's a great part of this episode, but I also don't dislike it personally.
Sure. I appreciate that. I think the reason I dislike it are all the reasons you listed, but I totally get that. And that's one of those things that, like, I think would definitely happen, where you have someone who's suppressing their grief so much that it, like, comes out in, you know, a way that's maybe not, like, convenient for everyone involved, if that's the right way to say that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Talk about the songs.
Sure. Let's talk about the songs.
Okay. Starting off with Seasons of Love. Oh my God. I'm going to, like, this is, I was, like, not prepared for how this episode was going to affect me. And I fully forgot Seasons of Love starts this episode off. A song that is, like, in the musical theater canon, one of my favorites. It's just, like, I think such a poignant, you know, a poignant couple of words about how do you measure a life? And it's just so beautiful. And anyway, what I will say is the way that everyone sings this song is, like, you know, when you get, like, when you get, like, a group of, like, high school people together to sing this song, it is like, yes, this song is the song we do a bunch of, like, standing and clapping to. We love this song. Mm-hmm. It obviously makes us emotional, but it's, like, also, like, a very celebration-y song in a way, when I've seen it sometimes. The way that they sing this song on this show, and, like, even the background vocals, it is like, these people are so grieving. And I felt that, like, really hard. The way they're singing it is, like, a good choice. And it, like, is very impactful. And, God, it's just so beautiful. And, like, separating the solos up, I just thought it was beautiful. It made me very emotional. And the way it's like staged with like the newbies and the people coming out and then like the alumni coming out. I think it's all very beautiful. I think the whole thing is very lovely and very, very respectful. I just love this song. And I think it's a great choice for this episode.
Yeah, I was crying. I literally checked the timestamp when I started crying, and it was 59 seconds. And I was like, already in tears. You're like,
all right. Yeah.
And I totally agree. I think the way that they started out with Finn's kids, mm-hmm. like the newbies that he was the teacher of, and then they bring in the kids who are still students but were his classmates, mm-hmm. and then at the very end of the song, well, not the very end of the song, but the last group to come in are the alumni who graduated with him. I think that is a very good choice. You can see, this is true this entire episode, and this is kind of what you were saying earlier. You can just see the loss written into every one of these performers' faces in every shot, and that's what really got me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not one to cry, like, full stop. But I especially don't cry at sad media.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't feel... Yeah.
Like children singing.
Yes, I cry at, like, moments of, like, human joy. But sad media, just for whatever reason, I will like it, and I can, like, you know, feel an emotion about it, but it hardly ever brings tears to my eyes. But watching this episode and knowing, like, this isn't them, you know, giving a great performance. This is genuinely how they feel in this moment. There is no acting happening in this. It made me very emotional, and I was crying a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference is, you don't see in any of their faces the actor thing of, like, I really got to push these tears out. I really got to push these tears out. You see the honest human thing of, I need to hold this together.
Mm-hmm.
The tears are coming and I'm actively fighting them back, trying to keep myself stable so I can get through this. And that is so hard to watch. I'm not saying it was, I already said my pins on this episode. I like this episode. I respect them for doing it. I don't think it was a bad choice, but it's, I just am sure that was such a hard thing to get through. And it makes me very emotional to watch.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this episode. Here's a hot take about me.
Okay.
I'm afraid that I'm going to, like, make enemies by saying this. This is one of the episodes of Glee that I rewatch the most.
Really?
I know a lot of people saw this episode when it aired live and they could not bring themselves to watch it again. I've seen a lot of people in the Discord be like, I don't know if I can rewatch the quarterback. A lot of people being like, I don't know if I can listen to the episode on the quarterback. I fully respect it. You don't have to listen to this episode. And obviously, if you didn't listen, you don't hear me saying that. Yeah, anyways.
We're 40 minutes in.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, what part of me, like, what it is inside me that makes me so fascinated by this episode. I have seen this episode probably like 5 times. It's one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. I come back to it so much. I don't know. It's just, frankly, I think because it evokes such strong emotion in me as a person who is not a particularly emotional person.
Yeah.
I'm sure for, like, anyone else who is less in their brain and more in their heart, who doesn't need, you know, something to pull emotion out of their soul, it is very painful to watch something like this. But for me, it does feel cathartic because it's like, oh, I never cry about anything. And now I am, like, crying and sitting in this sadness that is so hard for me to access. So I don't know.
I hear that.
Yeah, it's not like I watch it because I get, like, sick pleasure out of it. It does make me sad, but there's something about the sadness that feels very healing to me. And so I do watch this episode a lot.
I mean, you're talking to the girl. I feel like I haven't processed anything, period, until I've cried about it. Anything. And so, like, I think, like, to me, like, feeling sadness feeling tears fall down your face is like a good thing. Like, I think, you know, if there are so many pieces of art and pieces of literature that are in my life that I like go to and I feel and I cry and then I like start crying about real things, not real things. Mm-hmm. Obviously this is a real thing, but a thing that is personal to me. Exactly. Thank you. Cause like sometimes, you know, the waterworks, once you're crying, you're crying about everything. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
What was it? Yes. Like the other day, I just like kept crying about literally everything. Every single thing was making me cry. Like someone told a joke and I like, it was like crying. Like it was, you know, I totally get that.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think, is this my favorite part of the episode? I don't know. It's time for something else. We should keep going with songs, but really quick, yeah. If we just go in chronological order. There are so many moments in this episode. I've written a lot of them down where the lines of dialogue written, I am like, I mean, it makes sense because they were writing from lived experience, what they were actively going through. But I was like, the way you worded this is so exactly on the nose and like so profound.
Yeah.
It is incredible. That scene in the Hummel Hudson house when they're going through Finn's stuff, specifically Carol's monologue about being a parent and losing a child, is like, it's maybe my favorite part of the episode. Romy Rosemont does an incredible job. The writing of that monologue is incredible. It is such a powerful, it puts like such a powerful experience into words. The way that she says, she talks about how you wake up in the morning and you forget, and then you remember that your child is gone and you have to keep being a parent, but you don't get to have a child anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That whole scene is so phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate them having the Hudson Hummels be a part of this. That's something I love about this episode, is it's not just, you know, how is Rachel processing this grief? Like, they really, with one notable exception, which I guess we should touch on, with one notable exception, they really try and figure out everyone who has come in contact with Finn in this show, how is it affecting each of them? Yeah. And we see how it's affecting his mom. And we see, like, how it's affecting Sue.
Yeah.
And we see how it's affecting Santana. I just think it's really beautiful. I really appreciate that.
I agree. I really agree. And especially with, you know, Bert and Carol, you know, were a pretty big part of the show when they were, you know, getting together. Mm-hmm. Especially Carol, we haven't seen her in a minute. And, like, to leave her out of this episode, it would have been a real shame, and I really appreciate that she's in it, and I just love this scene so much. It is like so beautiful and so poignant, and like oh my gosh, like, and even like Bert saying like, I should have hugged him more. I think that's a thing that you know, when people are grieving, they're like, and even Sue says later, like, I like, this person doesn't know how I felt about them, you know, like, I should have been there, you know. And Bert saying, like, why don't we hug the people we love more, I just thought was so poignant and beautiful in this entire scene. And even with them, like, Carol having her monologue and then all of them sitting on the floor with, like, in Finn's room, just hugging each other, I thought, like, ending the scene like that was so, so powerful and so beautiful. And I really appreciate that scene.
Yeah. And I love Bert wanting to keep the lamp that he yelled at Finn about.
Oh my God, the lamp.
I also, this is another line. This isn't a line about grief, but this is another line that I was like, oh, that's very good.
Mm.
Is Bert says about when he yelled at Finn about that lamp. He says, I wasn't teaching him a lesson in intolerance. I was teaching myself one. He was just unlucky enough to be there for it. Which I think is a little unfair. Like, I do think that it was something that Finn needed to hear.
Yes.
But I do also love, I think that's a very wise statement.
Yeah.
That sometimes we lash out more on people when we recognize stuff that we're ashamed of in ourselves.
Exactly.
And it was less that Bert heard Finn say that and more that Bert heard someone else say something that he would have said a few years ago. And so obviously it was something that needed to be said, but he was so harsh about it because he was angry at himself and he was trying to like tear into himself. And as he says, Finn was just unlucky enough to be the target of him being mad at himself. I just think that's such a great statement.
Yeah, I agree. Very wise. I loved that they included the lamp. I just thought, like, you know, that's like kind of the first experiences that Finn and Bert were having. And I think, you know, the relationship of, you know, a blended family is a rough one. And for Bert to want to, like, you know, remember even the hard parts, I think is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and for Carol to tell Bert, she says, like, I think he liked it when you laid into him, you know?
Yeah. I think it's easily one of my favorite parts of this entire episode. It's so beautiful.
Speaking of... Just we have to address it.
Yes.
Speaking of the notable exception. So two cast members are very clearly missing from this episode.
Yeah.
Brittany is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Morris literally had just had her baby.
Yeah.
Perfectly understandable why she was not able to be in this episode. The one that makes less sense. Finn's first girlfriend had a huge impact on his life. Absolutely would be there in the world of the show. Quinn Fabre is missing from this episode. This is a huge scandal in the Glee fandom. Something that has been wondered about and whispered about for years and years. There's all kinds of rumors surrounding it. I really tried to get to the bottom of it. I really tried to put in research. I really tried to only rely on actual sources from people who were there and not just like word of mouth from some random Reddit user.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, the official story is there was scheduling conflicts and Diana Agron could not be there. Ryan Murphy says that everyone was invited back. Diana Agron gave an interview after this episode aired where she said, you know, like, bad news spreads so much faster than good news. And the truth is, you know, like, I miss Cory Monty so much and that show is my family and I wish I could have been there and yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
Apparently, there was some interview with Diana Agron in the New York Post that came out before this episode ever aired where she made some comment that made it sound like she had not been invited back. That interview and that article have since been deleted, like it doesn't exist anymore. So I cannot confirm nor deny whether she actually said that.
Right.
So was Diana invited back? Who knows? I don't know. The official statement she put out is that one that's just like, oh, I wish I could have been there, but it didn't work out. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And you can speculate as much as you want, but the truth is we actually don't know the case. We don't know what happened. So.
Yeah.
There it is.
Dang.
Yeah. But I would have loved to see Quinn in this episode. Absolutely. And also, Diana and Corey, especially during the first season of Glee, were such good friends. There's so many videos of them interacting backstage. Sorry, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There's so many videos of them like interacting behind the scenes and being buddies. So it is a bummer to not see her in this episode, but it is what it is.
Every like Glee cast being cute compilation I ever see includes the one where they're holding the camcorders and they're like, I'm filming you, filming me, filming you, filming me, filming you. Like they were obviously like very close, especially in the beginning of the show. And I so wish she was here. And I, you know, and that's something too, like, you know, like, I, like, that's a person I would have wanted to hear from for sure.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Next song is I'll Stand By You, Mercedes Jones.
I love that they did this song. It, like, makes me smile because it's, like, a silly thing that Finn did once that's also just a beautiful, beautiful song. And then having Amber Riley sing it, I think, is, like, the perfect way to do this song again. And it's beautiful, this entire song. I think it's a beautiful tribute. It makes me laugh, and it's also just, like, beautifully sung. And just, I don't think there's more to say about it other than it's beautiful and perfect, and I really appreciate that this is in the episode because it just makes me smile, and it's everything.
Yeah, I had stopped crying by the time the song came around, and then Mercedes was giving her intro to the song and said he was the first cool kid who was ever nice to us, and then looked up at the sky and said, "We love you, Finn." I started crying again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad you brought up that quote, seriously.
I understand, and you already touched on this, I understand the criticisms that people have of Finn's character, and I'm not saying they're unwarranted.
Oh,
and
completely.
I do think, as you said, that we're kind of colored by Cory Monteith's charisma and who he was as a person, and us being like, and Finn Hudson is the greatest. Mm-hmm. But the things they say about Finn in this character in this episode, and I understand it's more the idea of what the writers wanted Finn to be as opposed to, like, who we actually saw on the show. But them talking about, you know, Mercedes saying he was the first cool kid who was ever nice to us, and Kurt saying after Finn joined Glee Club, people started to be more, you know, it was more okay for people to be themselves. And specifically, this is my favorite one, when Kurt is talking about Finn's Letterman jacket and says, seeing him walking down the halls with this jacket was like seeing Superman come into the room. Mm-hmm. All of those make me so emotional.
Yeah.
Like, for better or for worse, Finn was this team's de facto male leader. He was like the one who would step up to the plate and get everyone in line and get everyone moving. And like, he kind of kept the club together.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. You know, we've talked about it like before, like when Tina and Artie sang the Beatles song to Finn. Which one was that?
In my life, I love you more.
Like, yeah. They obviously love this kid. Like, you know, he was so special to all of them. That's been so prevalent through this show. And that he's been, like, their leader and their, like, this beacon of hope and light. And I totally, oh my God, like, I know what it's like to, like, go to school, feel weird, feel like I'm not, like, you know, in the crowd and feel like I don't fit in. And then to have that person who you think is just, like, the coolest person ever come up and, like, make you feel cool too. And those people are some of the most amazing people in the world, and it, like, to lose that person, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that they included that line in here. That's one of those lines for me that is, like, so heartbreaking, like, and I bet Cory Monteith was like that in real life too, like, just mm-hmm. so cool, but, like, also so kind, like, you know, when those, like, cool, awesome, amazing people are also, like, the coolest, kindest people ever. Like, I bet he was just like that. And everything I hear about him is that he was. And, like, I'm really glad that line is in there.
Yeah. There's a lot of good lines in this thing. Kurt saying, talking about how he went to the funeral. Now he's going back for the memorial that Mr. Shu is putting together. Mm-hmm. And he says, being together is hard. It makes it more real. That I think that's something that's so true about grief is, yeah. A, you do have this longing to be with people that are going through the loss with you because they understand what you're going through. But then at the same time, you have this longing to distance yourself exactly. from them because you can't pretend it's not happening. You can't like move on as easily when you're just constantly surrounded by reminders that this thing happened.
Totally.
Like I have known people who had full relationships fall apart because they lost a mutual friend and their friendship just couldn't survive it because yeah. it was just a constant reminder of what they had lost. Horrible.
Yeah.
Next song is Fire and Rain, sung by Sam and Artie. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to say. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
That's like my only thought.
Yeah, I agree.
James Taylor, first of all, great musician. His songs are so
good. I know.
The message of this song, just the line, I always thought that I'd see you again,
yeah.
is like, you know, you do have losses in your life where you do see it coming. A lot of people, when you lose your grandparents, for a lot of people, it's hard, but it's not shocking.
Yeah.
But there are those losses in life that it's like, this wasn't even a loss I thought I would need to prepare for. Yeah. I was so certain that the last time I saw you, I was going to see you again. It did not even occur to me. Oh my gosh, this song is...
I know.
Oh!
And I love that these two, you know, Sam and Artie don't get their own plot necessarily, but I do love that they got to sing together because I feel like it's, you know, Sam and Artie too, like both of them had like pretty special relationships with Finn mm-hmm. as characters. So I'm glad that they got to like sing and I appreciate it.
That's also something I love about this episode is once again, I'm just going to touch on this criticism now.
Okay.
I think they did Tina really dirty in this episode.
I agree.
Besides Tina, which I think is like genuinely maybe my... The Tina thing I take most offense to in the entire series mm-hmm. is how they treat Tina in this episode specifically. Besides Tina, which I think is horrific, they really do prioritize like not only these characters' interactions with Finn, but these actors' interactions with Finn. Where it's like, yeah, maybe your characters weren't super close, but you two as human beings were, and we want to give you an opportunity to honor him. One of the biggest examples is Santana is like the secondary lead of this episode. And yes, Santana and Finn interacted in the show, but they were never particularly close. But Naya and Corey were super duper close.
Yeah.
And so they gave Santana this huge plot line because they knew how important Corey was to Naya.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like Fire and Rain feels like that, where it's like, we don't have a ton to give Artie and Sam plot-wise, but we know that Cord and Kevin want to honor him, so we're going to give them this moment to be able to do
that's
that.
That's a great thought.
Yeah.
I like that. This song is beautiful.
Should we touch on Tina before we get to the next
song?
Let's do it.
I hate this so much. It is like, I don't even know how to even process it because it feels like, oh, we need moments of levity. Let's have Sue come in and do some zingers. Let's have Puck say some like, you know, funny things. And then let's make Tina very selfish. It's like, oh, what? One of these things is not like the other. Like, it just makes me so sad that to go back to back from having Tina in Mrs. Pillsbury's office and then to have her in the choir room, like, openly sobbing. Like, obviously, Jenna Ushkowitz is, you know, grieving her real friend. And then to have Tina be like, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to wear black anymore. It makes me so sad. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
I'm sure that was like, I don't know. It just like, it feels disrespectful. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. So there's a scene. Emma is holding grief counseling in her office. Tina comes in. Tina's crying. Obviously, we think that Tina's upset about Finn's passing. Tina says, I just can't do this anymore. Emma says, what are you talking about? Tina says, I can't keep wearing black. I mean, this is so Tina 2 years ago. I worked so hard to move past this goth look, and then I feel like I'm just back in it. Emma gives her pamphlets that are titled things like, So You Might Be Callous. This Isn't About You. How to Stop Being Selfish. In any other episode of Glee, this is genuinely funny. Like, genuinely, yes, would make me absolutely laugh. I would think it was funny. This is not, oh, a character on this show passed away, and so, like, we're going to make a joke about how Tina's selfish about how this character passed away and she's making it about herself. This is Jenna Ushkowitz's real-life friend passed away. And we are making a joke about how, like, her character doesn't care about his character. It just feels disrespectful to her that, you know, it's not that Finn is gone, it's that Corey is gone, and everyone else gets to have these sincere moments about missing Corey. Like, the episode's about Corey, it's not about Finn. And then for Jenna, her only shining moment of the episode is her making it about herself. It feels so gross to me. And exactly like you said, the rest of the episode, we see Jenna fighting back tears. Like, clearly she is very upset about all of this. She's feeling a lot, and yet she does not get a moment to respectfully pay tribute. She has to. It just feels gross. And all the other jokes in this episode feel like moments of levity because they're not jokes about Finn. They're jokes about other stuff.
Even, like, you know, we could talk about Santana a little later, but Santana makes jokes about Finn, but obviously it's a coping mechanism. Obviously she and she even talks about it, like, she doesn't know, she wanted to be sincere. She, like, just, like, couldn't let herself be sincere.
Yes. But this just feels so tone deaf as to what's going on in the rest of the episode. I really don't like it.
Yeah. And it's like, I totally get everyone deals with grief in different ways. And there are people who are affected differently by grief and who are affected, I don't want to say more or less, but, like, you know, there are times that, like, grief happens around you and you don't really know how to react to grief happening around you. And I get that, but this is not one of those moments.
I'll call a spade a spade. There's times when people take tragic events and they make it about themselves to get more attention. That fully happens. Oh, completely. Yeah. And I think that's fully, like, a thing that you can comment on. Like, frankly, that's the plot of Heathers, is these people taking a tragic thing at their school and trying to make it about themselves. But the difference is Jenna Ushkowitz, the actor, is actually grieving a real loss. So, yes, that's, you know, that's a thing that happens sometimes when tragedy happens, and I don't think that's a thing that shows shouldn't comment on. But in this show, where it's not a fictional loss, it's a real world loss, it feels gross and disrespectful to have that in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that.
Anyways, but great segue to, you want to talk about Santana?
Yes, I would love to talk about Santana.
If not the Carol monologue, the Santana stuff is my favorite part of this episode. It is so, so strong. It's so incredibly good.
I love this stuff so much. And I even think, like, yes, Santana and Finn might not have been, like, close, but they had a pretty tumultuous relationship that felt important. You know, that's one of those relationships that's, like, you know, I think, obviously, Finn should not have outed Santana, period. Like, that's, you know, that he shouldn't have done that. But I do think that when shit like that happens to you, it becomes kind of a pillar in your life, you know? Like, and that is important. And it might not feel, it certainly doesn't feel good, but it still is, like, a huge deal. And what happens when, you know, this person who, for worse in her case, set her life on this path, like, you know, that fork in the road happened and now her life is on this path. Like, what happens when that person is gone and that person is important to you? Like, it's like that relationship, I think, is so interesting. And I really appreciate the way that they talk about it on the show. And like, you know, Santana as a character, you know, coming to her own in New York City and then coming back here and just being reminded of all the things that are like hard and that she's lost here. And I think it's really powerful. It's some of my favorite stuff in this episode and in the show, period.
Mm-hmm. And Santana's like full body life or death fear of vulnerability.
Yeah.
That moment, oh my gosh. You know, we see the whole episode that she's kind of pushing away her feelings. She's every song. She's very stoic. She's very clear, like trying to hold it together, or she stands up and walks out. Very clear what's going on. Girl's having a hard time connecting to her emotions. She's having a hard time crying. We've been there before. She sings her solo. She breaks down in the middle of it. You would expect that it's like, oh, Santana's finally connecting to her emotions. She has her huge breakdown. She starts crying. Everyone hugs her. She's now processing her emotions. But to have her start hysterically crying, someone stands up to comfort her, and then she starts screaming, yells at them to get away from her, and runs out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I personally love that choice.
Yeah.
That it's like, no, she, like, the feeling of being vulnerable in front of another person is to her the feeling of having her life in danger. Like, this is a girl that essentially has grown up so afraid and ashamed of who she is that she's always been like genuinely felt as if she was in danger if she let anyone in. Like, she was always afraid if anyone saw her for all of her that they would try and hurt her. And like, that was based in real stuff because her grandmother fully abandoned her when she came out to her. It's not something that you can unplug. It's not just like, oh, and you know, now I'm out and now I accept this part of myself, and so now I'm comfortable being vulnerable in front of people. Mm-hmm. It's like your brain has trained yourself to see the world that way, so you really have to undo it. So even though, you know, Santana accepts this part of herself, she's not ashamed of it anymore, she still has been trained to view people, letting people in, as letting people be a danger to her. And I just love seeing that experience, seeing her like running away, screaming, threatening people if they're getting too close to her, and then after it all happens, being so ashamed of how she handled it. Like when she says to Kurt, I had this big plan. I was going to surprise everyone. I was going to, for once in my life, be nice and talk about all the things I loved about Finn, and I couldn't do it. It came down to it. Like, he fully has passed away. We're here to memorialize him. And I still, at the last moment, took the opportunity to make fun of him instead of like being vulnerable and saying what I loved about him. I just love this plot line. And Naya Rivera does such an incredible job with it. Oh my gosh.
Totally.
It's also like the three best actors on the show. It's a Naya Rivera, Chris Colfer, Jane Lynch plot line. Like, every scene of the Santana plot is so compelling. Mm-hmm. It is incredible.
I completely agree. And I especially love the stuff with, oh my God, whoa. Especially, you don't even know what train of thought I'm on. I love the stuff with, I'm like, oh my gosh, don't you agree? No. The stuff with Santana and Sue, I think, is prevalent to, and speaks to kind of what you say when you, talking about Bert, where when he was laying into, oh my gosh, when he's laying into Finn, he's mostly laying into himself. We see that with like Santana and Sue, where Santana is screaming at Sue and being like, and obviously all of that's very warranted. Like, Sue has been, you know, pretty mean to Finn, but also I think this like hatred and this like rage is like, mm-hmm. you know, I think prevalent to like her talking to like kind of herself and like her upsetness with herself that she couldn't be kind when it came down to it. And I think it's just really beautiful. And like, you know, in moments where I have felt similar ways, I have like, you know, totally found myself lashing out at people who remind me of myself. And I think it's really beautiful. And I love that scene with Sue and Santana. And I just think like grief really affects people in different ways. And I appreciate the way that this show explores those ways.
Mm-hmm. It's also such an interesting parallel mm-hmm. that Santana goes through this experience and kind of takes away the message from Kurt, where Kurt says to her, do you really think you're going to be on your deathbed and be like, oh, I regret that I was so kind? That she kind of mm-hmm. takes the message away of, I should be kinder to people. I should tell them how I feel. And Sue goes through a similar experience mm-hmm. where Sue regrets how she treated Finn and that he never knew that she liked him. But Santana specifically tries to tell Sue, maybe this is a learning experience. And Sue says, no, there's no happy ending here. There's no lesson learned. It's just what it is. Like, yeah. this kid was a good kid and I treated him poorly and now he's gone and I can't undo that. And it is what it is.
But I also really appreciate them saying that on this show. I appreciate mm-hmm. Sue saying, like, there's not a lesson here. Like, we're not going to, like, put a bow on this episode of, like, anything, because there's that's just how it is. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the show being like, sometimes we just have to grieve and let that be. We don't have to change it into, you know, a lesson for the audience. It can just be sad. And I appreciate them even acknowledging that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Do I have any other Santana things? Oh, one thing. The Tina thing is my least favorite moment of levity in the episode. My favorite moment of levity is when Santana walks into Sue's office to yell at her. And when she walks in, Sue is talking to her secretary and says, well, Donna, one of us farted and I'm about 60% sure it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. That's really funny. My favorite moment of levity is when Kurt is in with Sue and they're talking about how the tree has been stolen. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I hate to dip in, and how like Kurt paid for the tree. And she goes, I hate to dip into your West Village Halloween parade assless chap fund. Oh my gosh, I had to pause the episode. I was laughing so hard. I thought that was hilarious.
I also like, so Santana sees the memorial to Finn and Bree and the Cheerios show up to start dismantling it. And Santana says something about how you can't do this. And Bree says, yes, we can. We're on Principal Sylvester's orders. And Figgin says to Santana, new Santana Lopez is right, old Santana Lopez. I just love the writers fully calling themselves out, being like, we know that Bree is just the Santana archetype again.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Up next is No Surrender, which is Puck's song. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Puck in this episode?
I appreciate them including Puck in this episode, because Puck was, I mean, you know, his like roommate in college, his like best friend all throughout high school. And I appreciate them including him in this episode. And I appreciate that, you know, another person who like is reacting in anger, and who won't let themselves feel the sadness because they're scared if they start, they won't be able to stop. And I think that's a really prevalent feeling in grief, and I appreciate them putting that on this show. And, you know,
Yeah, the Puck stuff is not the most compelling part of the episode to me, but I do, agreed. I agree. I appreciate that it's there. I do like that we see how Puck is dealing with it. And I do like the portrayal of people who just get horribly angry when stuff like this happens.
Totally.
And also, you know, the mentality of Puck defaced Finn's memorial because he misses Finn. That it's like, that's such grief brain thinking, where it's like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But when you're in that headspace, somehow you're like, I have to uproot this tree because it's not enough. So I'm going to destroy it in like protest that he's gone. Yeah.
Totally. Grief brain. That's a good way to put it. Where, yeah, I love that. And I agree. Like, this definitely is not my favorite. And especially, like, I think we have a few people reacting in anger, especially, namely, like, Sue and Santana. And those are the two more compelling plot points to me. But I do appreciate that we have Puck in this episode, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a relationship that would, you know, talking about the show, Finn and Puck, like, that's a relationship that would really, you know, it was really important, and I appreciate that they're talking about it.
Yeah. I also like when Puck has his meltdown in the locker room and he flips over a table, and Beast says, mm-hmm. Finn would have kicked over one of my chairs. And Puck says, yeah, that was his specialty. I like mm-hmm. that little exchange.
Yeah. He loved to kick chairs. I loved that.
All right. And finally, mm-hmm. Rachel Berry.
Rachel Berry.
I have to say, the artistic choice to not have Rachel Berry even be on screen until the last 10 minutes, I think is such an excellent choice. Specifically, honestly, because it kind of allows everyone else the space to grieve. Because, like, not only was, you know, Finchel the couple of this show, Lea Michele and Cory Monteith were fully dating at the time that he passed away.
Yeah.
Everyone is, not everyone, but the majority of the audience is most interested in how she is feeling about all of it. And I do, like, dramatically, yes, it builds a lot of tension to not see Rachel. But more importantly, I think by not having her be in the first three-fourths of the episode, it allows the other actors to not be upstaged and to have a moment to, like, properly grieve and honor him without having to worry about the audience being like, oh, well, but how's Lea feeling about this? How's Rachel reacting, et cetera, et cetera? So I do really appreciate that choice, that she sweeps in at the end, she gets her big moment, and but it's kind of like...
Yeah.
Everyone equally shares the episode.
No, I completely agree. And especially when it comes to, like, yes, it builds tension, but obviously it's just I think it's respectful to everyone here. And I think, you know, starting the episode with, you know, like, Rachel isn't coming back. It's all, like, she's feeling like this isn't, like, something she can handle right now, I think is... a really beautiful choice, and a choice I would have respected entirely if Lea Michele herself didn't want to be in this episode. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how it feels. And then to have her here, oh my gosh, I, like, burst into tears. It was just, like, very special. And, you know, you're totally right. Like, I think the way it's all set up is the perfect way to do that. And then to have her in the last 10 minutes is just, oh my God. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. As with all the performances in this episode, there's just, like, not a lot to talk about because this is fully just Lea Michele grieving. I can't even be like, she does such a great job, because it's like, she fully, this isn't acting. The man she was in love with is gone for the character and for the real person.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said about Lea Michele. Just focusing on this episode and this scenario, I do really respect that they brought her in to help work on the episode. Because it was, I don't know, it was someone that she was so close to and it was such a personal loss for her. I do appreciate that choice. And oh my gosh, that performance of Make Me Make You Feel My Love is heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And such an incredible choice of song for her to sing in that moment. And the monologue she gives before it, and about how it was the first song that they sang in the car together, which was so special for her because before Finn, she always sang alone.
Yeah.
It's all gorgeous. It's all beautiful.
I agree. And I agree. There's not much to say about it other than it's beautiful. And, you know, like I said before, it's hard to look into these real people grieving, like through the lens of their characters. But they're, you know, knowing it, that just like I'm looking at people grieving, it's hard for me to to watch it. But it's also like I really hope that this was healing for them and felt cathartic and felt good, because it's so beautiful. And I feel really privileged that we are let in on this, like, especially with Lea Michele. Like, very, 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 very personal moment.
And something else I kind of like about this episode and this plot line is Rachel comes and she talks to Will about losing Finn. It's a very beautiful scene. They both talk about what they're going through with someone who was so important to both of them. It's a beautiful scene. Mm-hmm. During this scene, Ryan Murphy kind of like backdoor pitches the series finale if this hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of a weird choice, but frankly, one I respect.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame him that Rachel talks about, oh, here's how I always imagined our future. And it's very clearly Ryan Murphy being like, the show now has to take a different direction, but I just want all of you to know what the plan always was for how the show was going to end.
Yeah.
Finn was going to teach the new directions. He was going to become the club director. Rachel was going to be on Broadway. And then in the finale, she was going to come back to Lima, walk into the choir room, say, I'm home, cut to black. And I just appreciate that we get to hear that and we get to know that. As a fan of this show, I like knowing what the plan was.
Yeah. I also think it's really beautiful in the sense of like, God, with the people you love in your family and, you know, in your life, you make plans. And I think like, you know, obviously in terms of the show, that's the way we're talking about it. Like, you make plans and then sometimes those plans don't happen. And just to like, think about what could have been, even in terms of the show, I think is like, I think really beautiful, you know?
Well, and there's that exchange where she says that to Will and she says like, that was our future. Like, that's what was going to happen. And I don't know what happens now. And Will says something different, maybe something better. And then Rachel says, I don't know that that's possible. And one, that's just like a very relatable, heartbreaking statement. But also, like, that's these writers talking to themselves.
Yeah.
Being like, this is what we had. And yes, obviously, from like a heartless business perspective, their plan for the show can't happen now. But like, they had plans for Corey, this man that they loved and cared about. And I'm sure they also had like personal plans for like their relationship with him. And now they're going to have to find something different. And I feel like that line is them being vulnerable and saying, maybe we'll find something better, but honestly, we don't know if that's possible. Like, now that he's gone, we don't think we'll find anything better, but we have to find something different. So we're just going to move forward.
Yeah.
I really like that scene.
I do too. I think it's beautiful. And I love the, you know, we opened the series with, you know, this tribute to Lillian Adler, the, you know, the old, the old teacher, and to like add another tribute, like something that like feels like a pillar in the show is that that tribute to this woman we've never met on the wall and then adding one to someone we know, I think is really beautiful. And I think it's like a really lovely gift to that Rachel would give the school.
Yeah.
And I just think it's lovely. And I love that, you know, and everyone in this episode is like, we should remember him. Like, people should know who he is. Like, people should remember this person. And I think that feeling is just, gosh, it's really beautiful. And I love this episode is really special.
Yeah. Well, do you have any other thoughts about the quarterback?
I don't like how it ends with Cory Monteith and then the year of his birth and the year of his passing and then a second of black and then the doo-doo-doos start. I was like, oh, I don't know that they planned that.
That wasn't the case when it aired on Fox.
Really?
It's when it went to streaming.
Oh, really? Because the doo-doo-doos don't happen during Shooting Star.
That was one of the glacks, and I took it out because sometimes if a glack I don't think it's interesting, I just don't read it.
Okay.
And that was one that I was like, this no, is very interesting. But when it aired on Fox, the credits were silent. Okay. And then when it moved to streaming, the Time for Some Girl Talk, which is what that song time is called, got added back yes. in. But I do agree, it is like read a room. Like, yeah. We do not need... after we've all cried our eyes out for 45 minutes.
Literally. Do I have any more thoughts? I don't think so.
Yeah, I just truly, personally, think this is a beautiful episode of television. I personally think 95% of it is executed great. And above all, I just really feel for all of these people, like mm-hmm. everyone, the cast members, of course, but also like the crew members who worked on this show, the people behind the scenes, these writers. I'm not a big fan of Ryan Murphy, and I'll continue to talk crap about him. I do not envy what that man went through when this happened and the position that he was in, where he was mourning a very personal loss and also had all of these people's livelihoods in his hand and had to keep them all going and keep the show going without this person. Mm-hmm. I just feel for all of them. And I think they made the best they could of a bad situation.
I agree.
And I really genuinely love this episode.
Yeah. I think it's really beautiful. And I'm like I said before, my feelings of it are, you know, I don't know that I agree. I don't know that I would call it exploitative, but it does feel sometimes that I'm looking in on something that mm-hmm. is not for me. And there are moments of this episode that are like, oh, like that Tina stuff I don't love. But overall, I do feel really privileged that they did let us in on it. Because it did feel personal, and it does feel personal. I felt like it was a personal loss to me. And I hope that I hope that people don't feel embarrassed by that feeling like a personal loss to them, because I think that's totally normal. And I feel really grateful that this show let us in on that moment. So, yeah. And, like, let us grieve as well. I think that's a really beautiful thing. Like, they definitely could have been like, this is a personal moment for us. Like, give us some time. And that would have been totally a thing, like, a respectful thing. And I would have respected that. But for them to, like, give us an opportunity to mourn this loss as well, I think is really beautiful, personally.
And that's the other complicated thing, is it's like, frankly, they could have said, you know, Finn's going to an out-of-state school, so we're not going to see him anymore. Like, if it was totally. Too painful to address his death on the show, they could have just been like, oh, Finn is going to college in, like, Idaho. And then they don't ever have to address it, and... it's fine and they can move on. And I think they just felt, A, that it was most respectful to Corey to do it this way. And also, like you said, when someone lives their life in the public eye, yes, I believe that we owe them privacy. They're a person. Like, they don't owe us their private details. But to live your life in the public eye, you do give a part of yourself to the public. And so, like, yes, this was a very personal loss for everyone working on the show, but I think they recognized that it was also a loss for the public as well. And they wanted to, you know, they had their own personal memorial for him. They attended his funeral. They wanted to give the public a chance to have a memorial for him.
Yeah.
And so it was both kind of a way for them to grieve, but then also a gift to us in saying,
yes,
we're completely giving you this present where you can honor this man and have your like catharsis and process your emotions through this episode of television.
Yeah. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about best part, worst part?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Should we not do jingles this episode? It feels disrespectful to then go to like best part, worst part.
My dick in the box jingle. You don't think it's appropriate?
If you didn't hear a dick in the box jingle this episode, that's why. Out of respect. Lena, what are you? Okay. What's your best part in this episode?
What is my best part? Gosh, there's so many good moments. I think my best part is the Hummel Hudsons going through Finn's belongings. Mm-hmm. There's so many like shining moments of this episode to me. It's hard to pick, but I think like two parents grieving a child and a brother losing a brother is like just really like the way that they do it on the show is so powerful. And I really appreciate that. There's so many parts of this episode that I love. And for best song, how do you pick a favorite song from this bunch?
Mm-hmm.
I think the one that's become my favorite over time is Naya Rivera singing If I Die Young. Whoa. First of all, there's not much to say about that. And I can't, I'm not going to, but it is so beautiful. And then, you know, the poignant way, and I think of following the natural progression of how it happened, of Naya Rivera stopping because it's too much, I think, frankly, is really beautiful. And, is just so powerful. So that's probably my best song. Ian, what was your best part?
Probably the Santana plotline as a whole. Just really love that plotline. I think it's fantastic. You took my best song. So did my second best song. I think my second best is Seasons of Love.
Oh, yeah.
I am of the mindset that Seasons of Love as a song kind of makes me roll my eyes, not because it's a bad song, because it's an amazing song, but it's such like the theater kid song that you're like, of course they're singing Seasons of Love.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, this episode understands what this song is about. That it's like, how do you measure the passing of time? How do you measure someone's life? And I love that we get to see a little bit of nearly every cast member in this number and hear a little bit of them and see them all experience this together. Okay. I really like that number. What's your worst part?
I agree. My worst part. I mean, I think our worst part is probably going to be the same, and I don't think there's much else to say. Yeah, it's the Tina stuff. It's disrespectful to Jenna Ushkowitz and disrespectful to the episode. There are like so many ways they could have added a moment of levity. And I don't know that that was the moment. Like, this isn't the story that they're telling. And I don't like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I genuinely think it is, in my opinion, the most egregious thing they do to Tina in the entire show.
Yeah.
Because the other stuff is like, character assassination to Tina.
Yeah.
And maybe it was targeted at Jenna, but like maybe it wasn't, who knows. But this was taking a very personal loss of Jenna's and making her make a joke of it. And that just not sit right with me at all.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And like you said, there are definitely people who make a moment that is not about them about them. That is a real part of going through a loss. I don't know that I care to see it on Glee, though.
Well, I don't care to see it in like a real memorial.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, too, is like, this isn't, I don't know. And like I said earlier, there's this line here between reality and between the canon of Glee here that like ebbs and flows. And I appreciate that. This is a real memoriam for a real person as well as a memoriam for a character. And I just feel like that with that, and that's okay, we cannot have that plot in here.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's the quarterback. Thankfully, wipe the sweat off our brows. We're past the most stressful episodes of Glee to talk about. From here on out, what else is stressful? Puppet Master? Like, I don't care. End of Twerk?
Bring it on.
I'll talk about End of Twerk till I go blue in the face. Honestly, I am nervous about End of Twerk, but not nearly as nervous as I was for this one. If you got thoughts on the quarterback, send them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, at recoveringgleek_podcast on Instagram and TikTok, at recoveringgleek on Twitter. You also can support our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Get our monthly bonus episodes. We're going to do a spooky Halloween special this month for October.
I'm pumped as heck for Halloween. Heck
yeah. Last month we covered High School Musical 2. Was that our most recent one? I don't even remember.
Yes,
I think it was. Yeah. We covered High School Musical 2 in September. Go subscribe to our Patreon if you want to. We would love to have you. And also, if you become a best friend of the podcast by subscribing to the upper tier, you get a special thank you shout out. How cool is that? Honestly, I have so given up on me doing this in the amount of time that I would like to do it in. I've accepted that's never going to happen. So I am now taking a page out of your book, and I'm going to do my goal is to do my best.
I love that. I love doing our best.
All right, here we go. A big, you ready?
Yes.
A big special shout out to Shalane, Salty Boy, Hannah, Eli, Zabana, Mary, Kay, Atticus, Brittany, Meg, Ava, Carolina, Reagan, Meredith, Colorgio, Katie, Alex, Josette, Tori, Amy, Marcus, Lowe, Ethan, McKenna, Danielle, Brisa, Maggie, Ian, Sutton, Madeline, Tiffany, Alani, Rachel, Elise, Kieran, Diane, Ellarain, Jeanette, Benjamin, Suzanne, Blanton, Lola, Ben, Alice, B, Bamisham, Caden, Katie, Fanson, Nadia, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Ali, Joseph, Jackson, Tori, Galley, Caitlin, Patrice, Garbage, Maddie, Abby, Kodiak, Kristen, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Sarah, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Eve, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Dell, Ari, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Elijah, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor, Kimberly, Carlin, Frankie, Dana, Chase, Finley, Jocelyn, Margaret, Despina, Liz, Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana, Marin, Han, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Ava, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren, Audrey, Marcus, Lisa, I Am Four Eyes, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elsie, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Charlie, Lily, Melanie, Yanula, Samantha, Sam, Jennifer, Aubrey, Stephanie, Kat, Kelsey, Haley, Tiffany, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amira, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Andy, Kenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Michael, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Turtle, Allison, stop. Hello, Lena. Hello.
Hi. Okay, I got it. I don't know how accurate this is. I don't know. I just stopped.
I stopped, I'm not kidding, 30 seconds ago.
Really? Because here it says your time was actually 2:06. So I don't believe you. Just kidding.
I believe you. Did we disconnect?
No.
Because I stared at you staring at your phone for so long.
I'm not messing with you. I promise I'm not messing with you.
What? I just don't understand how that's possible, how we got that far off. Literally, I stopped talking. I stopped counting based on my Audacity file. I stopped counting a minute and a half ago.
A minute and a half ago?
Yeah.
I'm at 2 minutes. Did it take you 30 seconds?
Well, but we've been talking since then. It was a minute and a half ago when I just said that.
And oh, then we had got the whole it. Conversation. Oh, got it. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I'm like, that math doesn't math. Sorry.
You know what? Yeah. I will just in post.
Yeah.
I will say how long it was. Because I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't much shorter.
You did a great
job. It wasn't
fast,
certainly.
Yeah.
It was a minute 20. So here we are.
Honestly, great job. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
You did your best. I love that.
I did.
Thank you all for listening to us and celebrating this show and, you know, being here to talk about the show with us. Thank you for to the people who were nervous about this episode. I hope it went okay. I'm really grateful that you all are here, and I'm grateful that you all are here to walk through this show with us and feel these feelings with us. And I'm glad you're here. So thank you for being here.
Love you all. See you next Wednesday for the minisode. See you in 2 weeks for Katie or Gaga. A big tonal shift.
Yeah. Huge tonal shift. Glad there's a 4-week hiatus in the real show. Here is a kiss on your forehead. Consensually from us to you. Consensual forehead kisses. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
A lot of people talk about how that is such a huge tonal shift and it feels disrespectful. And I do understand that. I also think there's a difference between watching these episodes back to back on Netflix and watching this episode and then having a month pass and then watching Katie or Gaga.
Yeah. I agree.
And I also think, frankly, there's stuff at the beginning of season 5, like we talked about on the minisode, with Sam and Nurse Penny that I don't like, but I am willing to forgive them for, because I'm like, they were put in such a complex situation and they were all grieving that they were just kind of making the best of what they could. And I can see, does it feel jarring to have this big memorial for Cory Monteith and then the next episode is like campy, ridiculous Glee nonsense? Sure.
Yeah.
I can also see that these, you know, this episode, they could barely make it through because everyone kept crying.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that they kind of wanted to focus on something else.
Yeah,
they couldn't just keep talking about Finn for weeks on end because it was a real life loss to them. So I do forgive them for that.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.